Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 7th of December, recording at 5:42 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. A little early for me, this broadcast, but you guessed it, I've got a concert tonight. Now, first the highlights. In Asia, well, the really important development is the strength of Thailand. Well, when I say really important, we've had two huge upward dynamics in the last 2 days. Those really are eyebrow raisers. It's important to me, and I know a number of you people, because we have investments in Thai funds. But I put the chart on the website. You can have a look at that. The rest of Asia, mainly consolidating. Okay, let's run on through other markets here. Bonds, a little bit easier in here today. Again, for these long-dated government bonds, it's an uphill struggle in this environment, despite all the liquidity that's sloshing around the system. That's offering some protection, but this is, well, these bonds, bond prices at any rate, are still in the Type 3 top formation stage following the secular bull market that I maintain ended on June 2003. So subsequently, we've had this big ranging top formation development. If you look at yields, long-dated yields, this big ranging Type 3 base formation development, and I look for a secular bear market in government bonds. And I think the secular bear market in government bonds will be considerably weaker than the secular bear market on Wall Street, which I define as a generational long process of liquidity, I beg your pardon, a valuation contraction. I'll say that again, a generational long process of valuation contraction. In other words, PE ratios come down and yields rise as investors realize that they do not live in the 1990s anymore. Now, I've always said that the key to whether a secular bear market valuation contraction involved a big downtrend, as we saw with Japan from 1990 onwards down into its lows in April 2003, or whether it's largely a glass ceiling affair, as we saw with, say, the Dow, excuse me, going back to, say, 67 into the early 1980s, depends on the amount of liquidity around. Now, there's so much liquidity sloshing around the system, and I really don't see why that's going to change anytime soon, that most of the valuation occurs with the help of economic growth boosted by that liquidity, and occurs in the form of higher profits growth and also rising, and that enables rising yields. Okay, now, in terms of currencies, a dollar rally in here today. So I maintain that the dollar is looking tired in terms of this medium-term, good medium-term bull run that it's seen. And the long-term charts, you look at the long-term point and figure charts, they provide ample and very clear evidence of my hypothesis since much earlier in the year that the dollar was indeed in an overall bottoming out process, but that it was likely to be lengthy. In other words, I do think we're going to see the dollar test its low and take that US dollar index down at 80. I do expect to see that retested, and it might be next year. I don't think that's a possibility until investors not only conclude that US interest rates have peaked, but that they can see that short-term interest rates I'm talking about, but that they can also see that rates are on the way down. Although don't expect them to go back down to 1% for short-term interest rates. I don't expect to ever see that again in my lifetime. Oh, so I'm obviously not a deflationary bust advocate. Now, in terms of precious metals, it's been a pretty firm day in here overall. Silver got up to 898.5, and it did that at about 11 o'clock this morning here today. And it's fallen back. It's 10 below that, but that's still up 10 on the day. That's 10 cents at 889 and a half. Now, people who look at the short-term charts say, well, gosh, how long can this go on for? It's looking a bit overextended, which is really to say that it's had a better run recently than the choppy activity to which we've all become accustomed if we've been following the silver markets. That's why I put in the point and figure chart on the website today, because you look at that and you see this gigantic multi-year type 3 base formation, and we've only really just completed the first huge, again, lengthy ranging consolidation first step above the base. We've only just completed that. So I maintain that silver is going to go vastly higher over the long term. Now that's just a guess, as in any long-term forecast, but you know my reasons. And they have everything to do with, well, I can sum it all up by saying supply inelasticity meets rising demand. And that demand is both industrial and also investment demand, since silver, I've always said, is a high beta version of gold. Now, in the very short term, practical realities, lest I or anyone else get carried away, and the $9 level is a possible psychological hurdle, although I've already said on the website that I think probably the bigger hurdle that people will be looking for psychologically, I'm talking, will be the $10, be the $10 level. But again, I maintain that in terms of its long-term potential, silver has only really just begun. And I'm talking my book, of course. I'm heavily overweight in the silver market. Now, what else is going on here today? Well, gold currently up. Well, it's let's see. It's only up 290 at the moment. 514.30. Only up 290, I say. And we've become used to some good moves in here in gold. And we have seen that up as high as 516.90 in here today, so it's about 2.5, 2.6 off the actual highs that we had seen. But this is very, very impressive steady action, and it looks fine to me on the charts. I think the downside risk is going to be limited to much smaller reactions and consolidations than those to which we had all become accustomed over the previous 3 years, 3, 4 years. So that really means that the angle of gold's trend overall, if I'm right in this forecast, of course, would be steepening. But it'll still be very much a staircase step sequence affair, and I maintain that gold is going much, much higher. Precious metals, other precious metals, platinum, I'm still hovering around this psychological $1,000 level. Palladium is probably the better play of the two. Why don't I have those two anymore? Well, I can certainly justify owning them on the basis of the technical action and also the fundamental story behind them both. But I deal in these in a tax and through the tax effective spread betting systems in the UK, and tax efficient, I should say. And the trouble is, because not a whole lot of people deal in platinum and palladium, the spreads are really quite wide, so it's expensive to deal in. Whereas in gold and silver, where lots of people are quite active in these markets, the spreads are much, much narrower. So my parsimonious side doesn't want to pay those big spreads, but they're certainly going up in my view. Now, elsewhere, what about in the energy side? Crude backed off that $60 level, did quite well this morning, got up to 60.68. You know, I've been saying that crude bottomed at that $55 level almost certainly, and we'd see it moving higher, turning from a tailwind into a headwind for global stock markets. But it hasn't gone off enough for people to really notice or start to worry about it. So it's just the absence of a tailwind here right now, if anything, for stock markets. But it fell back. It's a dollar off the high. Natural gas moved accordingly, but as I speak, it is not that far off the highs of the day. I'm looking at the February contract now. It's where I've got a position, not an inconsiderable position, although I did reduce my natural gas position a few days ago on when a order on the upside was a limit level on the upside rather was reached. But currently at $14 on the February contract, that's good action overall. I have I have profit taking orders above the market level. Can't remember exactly where they are. I think they're about 14.35, 14.40, something like that. And what that's pretty much the story here today, folks. So, all the best.